Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. Then let's listen again to what God says directly from his word. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Well, let's pray. Let's ask God for his help. Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed that you have spoken. We pray that you will bless what you have just said to our hearts and minds. And now as we look at it deeper together, we pray again for that ministry, the vital ministry that the Holy Spirit gives. Lord, help us to see what is so clear to you, what is so plain to you. Lord, help us to see and appreciate. Lord, bless it to us with strong conviction, that out of this, Lord, lives would be changed and our Savior Jesus Christ would be glorified. We ask this in his name. Amen. Well, we're continuing our New Year series for 2020, and we're continuing to look at this theme of the local church and how we can best serve the Lord Jesus Christ and others here around us to the best of our ability. And so we have been asking ourselves the question each week: in this new year, how can I best honor Jesus Christ? And how can I best serve my brothers and sisters here at Welbeck Road Evangelical Church? And so far, we've come through these opening verses of chapter 3. We've looked at verses 1 to 6, where there the Apostle Paul told us how he viewed himself there in prison. He's a prisoner for Jesus Christ. He's there because Christ has put him there. And he's there also for the sake of others. He told us also that he'd received a revelation from God, something that hadn't been revealed in the past, but now had come to him and others of his era, this new covenant era in which we now live. And this revelation was namely that in this new international community of God's people, the church, comprising of people from every background, whether from a Jewish background or a non-Jewish background, but in Christ we are one. In Christ we are equal. Verse 6, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That plan of God's, that plan of eternity, that mystery hidden for ages in God is still being worked out, still being fulfilled in our day, in every local church. The local church, as we sometimes sing, long divided by heresy and sect, yet she on earth is the means that God uses to achieve the end. The end being the fulfillment of that revealed mystery. So, if our local church, us, if Welbeck Road Evangelical Church is the means God is using to complete his plan. We come back to that question again. What part are you playing here? What service are you performing here to see that plan of God's fulfilled? Last week we looked at Paul's calling into the ministry in verse 7, how God had made him a minister or a servant of the gospel according to the gift of God's grace. And so we spent last Lord's Day morning looking at spiritual gifts, and we stressed there how that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit has gifted you as he did Paul. He has gifted you to be a servant of sorts, primarily here in this local church. But God has appointed every believer in every congregation with a ministry, a service both for Christ and for the sake of others, a service for them, to see them built up, to see them encouraged. Every one of us here has a service for others at Welbeck Road. So if you're a Christian, if you claim to know Christ as your Savior, if you'll take from the bread and the cup this morning, there's a service that only you can do here at Welbeck Road. You have a ministry here, and God will enable you to fulfill that ministry by his power, as he did here with Paul. You'll find those messages on the church website. This morning we come back to this theme of Paul's ministry, his ministry of revelation. You see there in verse 9, he has a message to tell everyone. And what he does in his ministry is also in verse 10 for the spiritual realm. He has a ministry particularly towards the physical realm, towards people. And he recognizes that his ministry, his service, is also towards the spiritual realm. Paul has been gifted by God, verse 9, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. So as well as pointing people to the Lord Jesus for salvation, Paul was also showing people this plan of God. He uses the word bring it to light. Bring to light. It's not the same word as he uses in verse 8 for preaching. I guess it's a form of preaching. It's the same word used back in chapter 1, verse 18. Paul had prayed that their eyes of their hearts enlightened, that things would become clear to them. Paul there was praying that God would further reveal to these Christians the hope to which God had called them. And he goes on to say what he's praying for, the riches of God's glorious inheritance in the saints, the immeasurable greatness of his power and so forth. Paul uses that same word, enlightened, here in verse 3. He wants to bring to light. He wants to enlighten everyone as to how this hidden mystery, this plan of God now revealed, is being worked out in the church. In a sense, what Paul is wanting to do is to unpack the package of God's salvation. He's wanting to open the case and that's got salvation written across it and bring out of it all these different aspects of what it means to be part of God's salvation. And if you did your homework, if you read through chapters 1 and 2 there, you'll see what Paul does. He unpacks it. He talks about election. He talks about predestination. Talks about their redemption. Talks about their inheritance and so forth. He's bringing to light all of these aspects of what he means when he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. What does that mean? Let me unpack it for you. And he goes on to do that. In effect, what he says in verse 11 is he wants to bring forth this eternal purpose of God. This plan of God from eternity past, but now realized, now being accomplished in his Son Jesus Christ. That God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. This God's secret eternal plan was to recreate and to save sinners. And so Paul is unpacking that, bringing each piece of it out and laying it before his listeners for them to see it and appreciate their Savior more and more, for them to be built up in their faith and realize how unique, how precious, how special they were, and so sanctify them through this for greater service in the church. But there's more. There's more to church than that. There's more to the purpose of a local church, as well as us focusing on one another. There's a different realm, you see, that is benefiting from the Church of Jesus Christ. You see, as well as revealing to everyone God's plan of salvation, Paul also recognized another form of revelation, verse 10. And this time not to humans, not to those we can see and touch, but to spirits, to angels. He says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Paul's perspective here has broadened. First and foremost, yes, he is ministering to humans. He's wanting to see them saved and brought into the kingdom of God. It's to see believers built up in their faith and serving one another and becoming more and more Christ-like as they come together and care for one another. But he also recognizes that his ministry affects angels. Angels. Now, we have to be careful here this morning, okay? Very careful. Because what Paul is saying here really is beyond us. I mean, we only have one verse here in this particular paragraph to go on, so we have to be careful I don't spend the next 15, 20 minutes just speculating. But I want to bring out this different aspect of what we are as a local church. We are not alone, friends. And usually when you hear people say that, they're talking about aliens and Martians and things like that, you know. I Googled it this morning to get an image to put up. I didn't put one up in the end up, because all you see is NASA looking for life on other planets, you know. It's all about that. We are not alone. We are being watched. The Church of Jesus Christ is, of course, being watched by the world. We know that, don't we? Some of us maybe watched our neighbors look at us through their curtains as we got into our cars and drove off coming to church this morning. Our colleagues at work are watching us, looking to see what we say in certain situations, and our friends at school are watching us. We are being watched by the world. They're looking, taking some level of notice from those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. But the church is also being watched by the spiritual world, the unseen rulers and authorities in the spiritual realm. We cannot see them, but they can see us. They are watching us. That's something of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 as to why he said that a woman's head ought to be covered as she worships. Verse 7, he says, a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. So Paul is basing his argument here in creation. That is why, he said, from creation, that is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels, he says. Because of the angels. Why the angels? Well, because they, as created beings, they recognize their order, they recognize their role in creation. They realize where and why God has placed them in his creation order. And so Paul says, they're watching us. They're watching the worshiping church. These angels are looking to see how redeemed men and women, even by how they dress, but how redeemed men and women display their different role and position according to creation. We are not alone. We are being watched. They're watching us this morning. They're learning from what they see of us. And what they see from what is being revealed to them is this new international community of God's people. You see in verse 10 there, Paul describes it, the manifold wisdom of God. Now, what does he mean by that? Let's begin with God's wisdom. What is God doing that allows angels to see his wisdom? Well, if you turn back in your Bibles to chapter 1, and you see there in verse 8 what Paul describes, he unpacks of what God is doing. He says, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. When we talk about the wisdom of God, we can see the wisdom of God in his creation. Even in this present state, a fallen world, a fallen creation, we can still see the wisdom of God in how he has ordered his universe. We can still see his fingerprints and the glory of God in natural laws, for example. Laws that govern our day-to-day survival as living creatures. We take them for granted, even gravity. I mean, we take it for granted, but isn't it a blessing that gravity exists? We all be floating around in this room this morning. All of these things convey to us the wisdom and glory of God. But here, this particular aspect of God's wisdom in verse 10 concerns our spiritual survival. It concerns our redemption. That in the wisdom of God, out of his great love for us, out of his great compassion for people like you and I, God has saved us. God has saved us. And how did he do that? Well, through the wisdom of sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into our world. The wisdom of God in our salvation was not that we should try and save ourselves, but that God, knowing that we could never save ourselves, rather he sent his Son. He sent his one and only Son into our world to act on our behalf as a substitute. That rather than we, the sinner, be held accountable for our sin, instead, the Son of God would be held accountable for our sin. That through him bearing the guilt and taking the punishment for our sin, then you and I, whoever really, whoever throughout the world, whoever would respond positively to that message and turn from their sin and believe on him, they would be forgiven. They would be truly forgiven of all their sin and included in God's family. And so God did that to display his wisdom, but also, as Paul writes in Romans 3:26, God did that so that he himself might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. This is the wisdom of God. And the world looks at such a message, a message that talks of someone hung on a cross, naked and beaten and lashed almost to death. That's foolishness. Absolute fully, absolute nonsense. And yet, Paul says, but to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. Friends, this is the wisdom of our God, His eternal, His unfolding plan now realized in His Son Jesus Christ, and now being fulfilled through the preaching of the gospel. And that gospel bringing together people like you and I into the church. Our sin has separated us from God, even from one another with all our silly fallouts and things like that. Sin does that. Sin destroys. Sin condemns. Sin ruins. But now, through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, God is uniting all things together. People from different backgrounds, bringing us together as one people and bringing us to Himself, to unite all things to Himself. This is what God has done. And this is what God is doing this morning. This is His wisdom revealed. It's what Peter describes in 1 Peter 1 verse 12. He says, it's all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. They're watching us, friends. What's the point of this sermon, really? I want you to get a better perspective on what this is all about. So many people just come to church thinking, well, what can I get out of this? How can I be satisfied somehow from this? Like a club. And if I don't like this club, I'll cancel my membership and go to the next club and join them for a while and see if that tickles my fancies and things like that. I want us to step above that and to see things as to what's really going on here. Even this morning, we are being watched, friends. The angels are watching us to see how we as redeemed people, as people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, how we interact with one another, how we view one another, how we express our identity in Jesus Christ. That it's not just about me and whether I'm happy here, but am I actually serving Christ and serving others here to His glory? They're watching us. Look again at what Paul says here, though. It's not just wisdom. Wisdom is glorious when it's God's wisdom. But this manifold wisdom, what does that mean? It seems to emphasize the wisdom of God. How does it emphasize God's wisdom? Well, the Greek is a Greek word I can't even attempt to pronounce, so I'm not going to try to. But it's a word that means much varied. It's a word that means marked with lots of variety. It's a word that's connected with color. So an artist would paint a picture of manifold colors, things like that, or a piece of clothing with manifold colors in it. Our daughter Beth got a t-shirt for Christmas, and it's covered in color. It's marvelous, really good, really bright. It's a manifold colored t-shirt. You think of Joseph back in Genesis 37, and how Joseph wore that coat of many colors. Do you remember? We'll get there eventually in our series. But the Greek version of that account of what his father made for him, that robe of many colors, the Greek form of that word is this, manifold. The manifold wisdom of God. Here's a picture of what the church represents, friends, this new international community of God's people. This diverse, multicultural, international tapestry of grace. How each one of us, with with the diversity we bring to the table, as it were. But each one of us, through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been sewn into the fabric, as it were. As we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, as we have realized our need of Him and humbled ourselves and thrown ourselves at His feet, we have been woven into this glorious tapestry of grace. This multicolored, multicultural wisdom of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is what God has done. This is what God is doing. It's marvelous, is it not? Paul here has been actively preaching and teaching this plan of God. But actually, it's in the church itself and in the working out of their life as a church that we see this beautiful, this colorful, multifold, manifold wisdom of God. And the angels are watching us. They're watching all of this. In the creation of the universe, which you read how the angels sang for joy as God created, as they watched Him create. Through physical creation, the Lord reveals His glory to the world, to mankind, so that every one of us is without excuse. We cannot say, well, there is no God, because it's obvious there is a God to have made all of these things. But here now, in God's new creation, in His recreation, with what the Lord is doing in and through His church, He's revealing His glory and wisdom to angels. To angels. He's not telling them directly what His plans are, but rather He's saying, go and look at them on Welbeck Road and learn from them. Learn from them My wisdom. Learn from those people what I'm planning to do. Isn't that amazing? I find that really... And I thought church was all about rotas and meetings and things like that. It just encourages to step back and say, why am I here? Why am I doing this service, this thing on a whatever night? It's for this, at least. It's for this purpose. So God has not told them directly, but instead told them to go and watch. They're watching us. And imagine it, you know, those were the angels who filled the skies over Bethlehem that night when they brought the good news of great joy to the shepherds, and they rejoice and sing over the arrival of the newborn King. This morning, as it were, they are looking over the parapets of heaven, looking down on earth and seeing what God is doing and rejoicing. Marveled by the extent of God's grace to such a sinful, rebellious world, but how God can bring these people from different languages, different colors, different countries, bringing them all together as one in love and faith and service. That's why, friends, when we fall out, it really dishonors the Lord. When we, with our squabbles and our petty things, fall out, and it's not just a fallout, it's terrible, friends. The angels are watching. And that's why our enemy hates the church, because every time he looks at the church, it just reminds him that his time is short. This eternal plan of God is now being realized in Jesus Christ. And here you are. Here is God's plan being fulfilled here at Welbeck Road Church. And so Welbeck Road Church, at least us, we, even us, remind the devil the grains are falling for him. His time will soon be over. His final defeat is imminent. And hence the tribulation the church is going through in these days. But the church remains the present proof that Satan has already been defeated. The church remains the proof that the Lamb of God has now been sacrificed. The precious blood for sin has now been shed, and now there is power. Now there is power in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ for sinners from wherever. From wherever. But the message is that whoever would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ would be saved. Wherever you've come from. Whether you've come from across the road or on the other side of the world, but here you are this morning, and the gospel to you this morning is that in the name of Jesus Christ, whoever turns from their sin and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is saved. That's the message. And they're watching us. That's what it's about, friends. Not about all our little squabbles and fallouts and things like that. Oh, friends, isn't this marvelous? Isn't this wonderful? How God is bringing us together like this, and the angels are watching and rejoicing and cheering in heaven as every sinner repents and comes back to their Creator. So as we close, can you see, can you appreciate the value, the worth of your salvation in Jesus Christ? Can you see how privileged you are to be part of Christ's body, to be part of this local church, to be the means through which God is fulfilling His plan and the means through which God is teaching His angels, showing His glory, showing His wisdom? But friends, God is at work today. He is building His people. And if you are part of the body of Jesus Christ, you are part of this manifold, this multicolored wisdom of God. Are you part of it? Are you part of it? Have you truly put your faith in Jesus Christ? Is He truly your Savior? If you have, you're in the tapestry. And you're marvelous in that. Amen. Father God, we thank You for Your work of grace then towards each, every one of us here. We praise You, Lord, that many of us have been brought by those cords of love and drawn into Your family. Thank You, God. And we pray, Lord, for every one of us here, Father, that none of us would listen to this message and be somehow persuaded that this is not for them. Lord, will You speak into their souls, please, God? Will You show them the worth of Your grace, the measure of Your love, how safe, how forgiven they can be in Jesus Christ? Lord, hear our prayers. Please, will You forgive us of our sins? Forgive us for being so blinkered, for being so narrow-minded to think that church was all about me and what I want and what I get out of it. But Lord, thank You for showing us this morning what You see in Your church and what You're doing through Your church. Oh God, help us then, we pray. And thank You again for our great Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name, Amen.